Well, again, Merry Christmas. If I haven't had the privilege to meet you, because I'm sure we have some guests here today, my name is Arthur Jones. I've been a pastor here at St. Andrew now for over 13 years and been senior pastor for a little over two. And I continue to be amazed by this place, by the pastors with whom I get to serve, by the musicianship and the just quality of this place. I'll tell you, sometimes when you see people that are really, really, really good at what they do, I don't really know how they do it. Taylor's one of those where you just sit there, and I promise this is about Jesus. Just give me a second. In that there are these moments where it really feels like, how does someone do something like that? And so many times in my life, that's true. When I watch athletes and I realize I never had that capability. When I listen to musicians and go, wow, that voice comes out of their mouth. Fascinating. I often resonate with the people more who are supporting those kinds of talents, right? And I feel like in scripture, that's why I resonate to some extent more with John the Baptist than I do Jesus. Because Jesus is perfect. He is God himself, the incarnate word of God, word made flesh, the one who was at the very beginning, the one who was there when God said, let there be light, and there was light. That one became a baby, and I go, whoa, that's a big deal. I don't know that I could be on the cross and forgive my enemies as Jesus did. He is the light of the world who comes into this place. And it's why today, as we are in the season of Advent, focusing on the preparation for Jesus, I resonate way more with John the Baptist, a flawed, sinful human whose job it was to simply point to Jesus. That feels like a more doable thing. It feels like a more capable thing. Sometimes I actually think when Paul writes in his letters, imitate me as I imitate Christ, I think that's a more doable thing. Because you actually have a way to access kind of, okay, well, maybe I don't have to be like fully like Jesus today. Maybe I can just get partway there. Can I model myself after the saints? Can I do something that just points to Jesus? And I feel like if we were to point to the light of the world every single day, and decide my job is to be more like John the Baptist who just points to Jesus, I wonder if that might give us a way at this thing called following Jesus a little bit better. You heard Rachel so beautifully read Isaiah 40, the prophecy that there would be one, yes, who would come into the world as a tiny baby, but also that there would be one named John the Baptist, someone who would come before Jesus, someone who would come whose job it is to point to Jesus. Here it is in Mark 1, quoting Isaiah 40. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness. This is the quote from Isaiah again. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. That ends the quote. And then Mark continues, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." I particularly love John the Baptist's call here because it's about making paths straight. If you remember, Rachel's piece was they talked about how many obstacles were in the way. There were mountains. There were hills. There were rocky places. You see, we live in a world with good contractors, concrete, and asphalt, okay? We live in a world where we actually can literally tunnel through mountains, and we forget exactly how difficult it was to travel back before the last really 50 years. It was Dwight D. Eisenhower who had, during World War II, the idea of the national interstate system. My grandfather ran a construction company and built many of those, was part of that process. You should have heard him rant about how important roads are to a functioning society. This is also what I got at the, along with Isaiah 40 and the history of Methodism, that's what I got at the, you know, dinner table. But it does give you a sense when you imagine, just think for a minute about people trying to settle Kansas like my ancestors did, having to get through the Appalachian Mountains before highways. And then, of course, they stopped in Kansas because they looked at the Rocky Mountains and said, nope. Can you imagine? This is truly, I want you to imagine a covered wagon headed west, seeing the Rocky Mountains, and then the metaphor of Jesus, the kind of way Isaiah describes this is, don't you know there will come one for whom that mountain will be nothing? They will tear that mountain down and it will be straight paths. You see, the challenge that we have in our lives is there are too many places that are rocky, too many mountains and too many difficulties. And we look around and go, is there any hope? Are we even gonna try? How in the world are we going to navigate changing the world when you see that mountain? And then you ought to hear in the back of your head the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending one who will make the paths straight, who will smooth the mountains and raise the valleys. And I don't mean this just in a metaphorical sense, because I have had times in my life where I wondered how I was going to get through the next day or the day after that. A church member just a couple weeks ago prayed for his coworkers who got let go from their jobs. And turns out he was too, but he didn't mention it to everybody else. You have those moments, don't you? These moments where you look at the brokenness of our world, at our politics, at our systems, at our bureaucracies, and you wonder, how in the world are we going to make this world better? It feels too big, almost like trying to be like Jesus. You look at the world and you go, what good does my light do? What good do I do in that process? The world is too dark and too big and too scary. And have you seen those mountains? And the truth is, I came from a privileged family with a mother and father who loved each other and are still married. I come from a family of generations of people who pointed to Jesus. The Bible I'm reading out of today was my grandfather's, who was a pastor, who handed it to my father, who then handed it to me on the day of my ordination. You see, I had so many blessings, and you want to know how many people don't know that there's hope? Don't know that there's light? Don't have a clue how they're going to get through tomorrow, and they don't even know where to look. And then you think about this place, and I think about you and this community and congregation, and I think, wait a minute, what if, just bear with me, what if we did it? Crazy thought, I know. I mean, it'd require us to actually love our neighbors, love our enemies. It actually to pray for those who persecute you. It actually require us to look a lot like Jesus. And I know that you are sometimes like me, sitting there thinking, does he know how broken I am? Does he know what I have going on in my life and in my family? But this is why I like John the Baptist, friends. Is because you and I don't have to sit there and imagine that we have to be perfect. All we have to do, friends, is to point to the one who is. This is how it reads in John 1, verses 6 through 9. That there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He was the light of the world, and that light entered the world. You see, John the Baptist, his job was not insurmountable because God was going to do the hard work of becoming born as a baby, of living as a human, of dying our death so we might rise again with him. This is what we get to proclaim. in John 3, John the Baptist comes back into the picture, and he starts having all these conversations with Pharisees and all sorts of people, and they ask him what his job is, and he talks about Jesus, and he has this phrase that I particularly love where he says, "I must decrease so he may increase." I played golf the other day, and I was even through four. That doesn't happen often for me. I was playing really well, out of my mind, and I was playing with a church member who looked at me and said, "I'm gonna caddy you to your best game ever," and then I shot the worst score I've shot all year. And it was because for a moment I convinced myself I was good. Right? For a moment I thought I had it. And then, of course, when you think you have it, what happens? You crater. At least I do. Maybe y'all are more mentally strong than I am, but this is what happens too in ministry. Preachers and churches, they get to the second balcony with standing room only high folks, and they start thinking, "Aren't we awesome?" And the truth is, part of the reason why Taylor doesn't turn around here is because he knows that he must decrease so that Jesus must increase. That the part of the reason why we do this thing the way we do it is because St. Andrew is not the light. Jesus is. I am not the light. Jesus is. And the moment that we start to think, "Look at us, we got a second balcony," we mess it up. That this is actually the joy of Jesus, is that we get to come and we point to the one who cannot screw it up, because he is the one who was and is and shall always be. He has already won through the manger and the cross. And friends, our job, we cannot mess it up. If we wake up every morning and say, "May I decrease so you may increase. May I point to you. You don't have to be perfect. Just love the one who is, because he already loves you. You don't have to manage your life in the ideal way so that you can be on podcasts and famous. None of that matters anyway, and we're all going into the grave together, right? Like, this is all the way the world is, but there is one who escaped it, one who lives. This is what God promised, so that whatever mountain, whatever valley, whatever rocks and difficulties you have, stand in front of it as big as they might be as the Rockies and say, yeah, but have you met my friend? He came once, and he's coming again. It is God that is good. It is God that is the light. And the good news is, the light of the world is coming again. Let us pray. Gracious God, may your Spirit come into this place. Gracious God, we ask for your Spirit to be with us. God, there are mountains and there are valleys in this room. There are even some people who imagine that their way is straight and they have no idea the difficulties ahead of them. God, forgive us when we imagine that we are the light and we forget you. Forgive us when we imagine that things are going so well that we don't need you. Forgive us, God, when we mess it up. And yet, God, you knew we would. It's why you came. May we point to you, and may we be the light for so much darkness and brokenness in the world, that they might see hope. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.